Earth, but I want to talk about the 15-foot sun that is 1,500 feet away over in the parking lot of the elementary. I don't know if you've thought about the sun, but there's some pretty amazing things that I think we just absolutely take for granted when we think or don't even think about that big gaseous ball glowing out in space. First off, I want to talk about the warmth of the sun. Okay, sometimes it gets hot. Okay, occasionally we'll get triple digits around here. Maybe 110, 115 if it's really hot. The outer surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, again, we are making some assumptions. I'm going to trust that the scientists provided me with these facts know what they're doing. As far as I know, no one has gone up to the sun and put the thermometer next to it and said, oh, yeah, that's about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know how they figured it out, but I'm going to just trust that they have some idea. I don't trust everything that they say, but that's a better guess than I could have made. But here's what's interesting. That is the temperature of the sun on the outside. The core of the sun is estimated to be somewhere around 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I don't know, to me, that is just incredible. I mean, I walk outside and it's high 90s and I'm like, man, I don't know that I can survive. I've never thought, wow, I wish it was 27 million degrees. That would make for a really great day. Another thing that's really interesting about the sun is the energy that it produces. Now, the average car, and that's pretty vague because we have all different sizes of cars, but the average car consumes about 20,000 watts of power per second. Okay, I mean, that depends on so many factors. For some of you in your driving habits, you might want to double or triple that number, but for the most part, a car consumes about 20,000 watts of power. Okay, now let's compare that to the sun. The sun emits the power of 10 to the 22nd power of cars. So what that basically means is if you have the number 10 and you add 22 zeros after that, that's the amount of power that the sun produces, emits every second. So let's try to figure out what 10 to the 22nd power actually mean. That is 100 billion times 100 billion. So let's just talk about this just for a second. Just humor me a little bit. There's around 7 billion people on the face of the earth right now. If every person in the world had 15 parking garages and each garage held 100 billion cars, that would be, and we turned all of those cars on at once, that would be the amount of energy that emits from the sun every second. Which, by the way, there's only been 2.1 billion cars made. So we don't even come close to that number at all. The amount of energy that's produced from the sun is absolutely incredible. Okay, so last week we were at camp, and not to rub it in, but to rub it in, it got cold at night. And so we would go up there and have campfires. I really didn't grow up going to camps with campfires very often, because most of the camps I went to, they were all either in Texas or they were in Oklahoma. And both of those places I would describe as a barren flat land with a huge magnifying glass about 100 feet above, in which the sun would just burn down on you. And so it would be 100 to 110 in the daytime, and it would cool off to about 95 at night. And so the thought of grabbing wood and building a fire so you could sit around it and sweat even more than you already are is just crazy. But last week, in 50-degree weather, I'm going to say it again, when we were a little chilly, we had a campfire. And Lance and I were in charge of the fire. And the first night, we literally built like a campfire. We had the little box wood out there, and we had it in there. It was going, and it was nice and warm, and it was contained. It was too contained. It was a campfire. And so we decided the next night we were going to have a bonfire. And so Lance got all the wood, and he turned it into like a teepee shape. And we had a pretty good fire going. It got up to about 5 feet. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm the type of person that I could literally sit in front of a fire for hours and not myself to blink because my eyes dry out. But I love looking at the fire. And so we're out there, and we're looking at the fire, and we were sitting on the benches. I wanted to sit down, but the benches, the problem was they were about 15 feet away from the fire. Now, the fire is, you know, one time was about 5 feet high, and there had been a lot of rain, so there's no way that anything was going to catch on fire. But, I mean, it would get pretty high. But if this is a campfire, if I'm right here, I'm feeling zero warmth from it. And I mean, it's a good fire. Now, you get close enough, you start to get a little bit closer, and you can feel about here, you can really start to feel good. Maybe if there's a little bit of gust that comes in, woo, you kind of feel that for a second. But if I'm 15 feet away, I'm not feeling any of it. And so I was stuck between, I want to sit down over on the bench because it's comfortable, but I want to get close so I can really catch that warmth because it was 50 degrees at night. Nice and chilly. I'm going to keep saying that, okay? The flames were 5 feet high, but I couldn't even feel it. Now, think about this. 15 feet away, I couldn't feel the fire. Our sun is 93 million miles away from us. And by this afternoon, assuming the clouds have gone away, you step outside and you know it. How far is the sun from the earth, or earth from the sun? The light from the sun takes 8 minutes to get from the sun to us. If catastrophically our sun disappeared, if somebody pulled a blanket over it, it would take 8 minutes for us to realize that the sun had gone out. 93 million miles away from our planet. But if you don't wear sunscreen, at best, it will darken your skin, and at worst, it will blister, cause sunstrokes, and even death. From 93 million miles away. Can you fathom how much heat is required, emitted from that far away, that it makes it all the way through 93 million miles of space? And as the earth rotates around and it hits, the light hits it, it provides that much energy. We cake on sunscreen to protect our skin, slide on sunglasses to protect our eyes, and wrestle with those silly sunshades in our vehicles to prevent our cars and our steering wheels from being too hot to touch. That's just how much energy is produced from the sun. It is so incredible. There is so much energy that comes from the sun that when it reaches our planet and the light from it lands on a blade of grass or a flower or a tree, it gives energy to that plant. I mean, I'm pretty impressed. I have a phone now that you plug in your phone to charge it. But now they have this new feature where you can set it on this thing and it kind of charges if it's kind of just touching on there. But if I pull that thing away, it'll go doot doot and say, yeah, it's not charging anymore. Boop boop. Doot doot. Like if it just moves a little bit, it's off. Can you imagine charging your phone from 10 feet away? You walking into a room with it in your back pocket or in your purse, and all of a sudden, doot doot. The energy from the charger starts charging your... I mean, that's a great idea. I can't believe I just now decided that that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dedicate... I got to go. I've got to start work. Can you imagine that? 10 feet away? How about a mile away? Can you imagine having an electric car and you getting in within a mile of a charging station and it starts to charge automatically? I think I just solved all the world's electrical problems. If we could just set up these bases where they emit some kind of electric field that if you get within 100 miles of it, it will charge your car, your phone, your earbuds, your watches, your pacemakers, whatever it is. Can you imagine just you getting close enough to that and all of a sudden it just starts charging up? God created an energy source 93 million miles away that provides warmth, it provides light, it literally gives energy to our plants and allows them to grow. Now, I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole when I was doing some research, and I ended up finding out, doing a little going off and learning about what would happen if we lost our sun. And let me just say this, it's not good. Like, I mean, we got frostbite in a few days. Nothing is left of this earth. Nothing is left of this earth. And God, in his infinite wisdom and his understanding, knew that he could create a source of energy 8 minutes away as fast as light can travel. And that light travels with the energy and allows this planet to grow. It is just unfathomable. Another thing I want to talk about for just a minute while we're talking about the sun is I want to talk about its consistency. And this is to me that as I was thinking about this, it never really crossed my mind. But we built this fire, right? And we hauled up some wood, and we did like any good person do. We used more lighter fluid than is absolutely necessary. But why not? I mean, when you can light that and just watch it go, and just, oh, it is just so awesome. And then you just watch it burn, right? You need three things to have a fire. Can anybody remember what three things you need? Oxygen, fuel, and source of ignition, a spark. You have to have those three things, right? So we had the spark and we had this little propane lighter that we used. We had the oxygen, obviously, and then we had the fuel, okay? But the thing is that it started off, we got that whoosh, and then it kind of had to like sink in into some of those bigger logs. It really had to start burning into them. And so the fire was never really consistent for very long. You know, it started off real big, and once that we had some cardboard underneath, once that burned out, then it went down, and then some of the bigger logs caught, and so then it got bigger, but then they started to burn down, and then it got small again. And so it's always fluctuating up and down. And we had to tend to the fire, make sure that we had enough logs on it. The first night, we were really worried about, like, how long it's going to take to get started. We ended up starting the fire 45 minutes early, which wasn't too bad because it was 50 degrees outside. And so we warmed up by this little fire. The second night, we had it a little bit better. But it was hard to try to keep a consistent amount. We didn't want it to get too big because then, you know, we'd burn the eyebrows off the camper sitting on the front row. But if it wasn't enough, then it was really not that helpful at all. The sun doesn't need refueling. It doesn't drastically vary in heat, and it continues to steadily burn. I cannot wrap my brain around this. I don't know how it happens. To me, it seems to go against physics. That as there's something inside, it's got to be burning, and it's got to be fluctuating, and it's not always going to be the same. But our sun has been just that consistent, day in and day out. Now, I don't buy into this. But scientists look at the sun, and many of them proclaim that it is about 4.5 billion years old. And that based on their estimations, it will continue its current consistent day after day after day output for another 5.5 billion years. That means that it has another 500 million years before it is halfway used up. But even more crazy is that it's expected, predicted, to provide the same amount of life-sustaining energy for 10 billion years. I can't get a fire to be consistent for 10 minutes. There's always, we have to add this, and you know, where you got to keep getting wood. If I want to have a fire going a week long, I'm constantly adding wood. Okay, there's no plug. There's nothing that says, okay, time out. Sun needs to be recharged. It's been a really long day. It's going to cool off for just a little bit. A good battery might last anywhere from a few minutes to a few days, depending on what type of drain or load it's taking. Rechargeable batteries may last longer, but they need an outside source to recharge them. And even then, even the good lithium batteries that they have now, they have this memory that every time you use it, it loses just a little bit of its ability to retain energy. The sun is consistent every single day. I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I can't figure out how it continues to have that constant amount of heat and energy, but God knows. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about when we're talking about the sun is how big it is. 864 million miles in diameter. That is humongous. It's powerful, it's consistent, and it sustains all of life. Without the sun, we could not survive. And so it is with God. Like the sun, His love is powerful. His mercy is consistent, and His presence sustains life. Without Him, we couldn't survive. But I want you to know something. Our sun, it's really not that big. If the earth was a golf ball, the sun is 15 feet in diameter. And even though it seems like a long way off at 1,570 feet, do you know how far you would have to go to get to the next closest star? Assuming that the earth is the size of a golf ball, and the sun is 15 feet in diameter and 1,500 feet away, the next closest star system is Alpha Centauri. And if you wanted to get there, assuming that the earth is still the size of a golf ball, you would have to get in your car and travel 80,000 miles to get there. 1,500 feet is how far the sun is. The next star, 80,000 miles away. Now, I want to stop for just a moment, and I want to share a video with you. It's from a sermon that's preached by Louis Giglio, Some of you, hopefully most of you, have seen this before. I hope you find yourself on YouTube or Facebook and always listening to other sermons, something to keep you fed throughout the week, or at least say, hey, I listened to one good sermon this week. And so I came across this one. It's actually several years old, but it was inspiring and humbling. As I began thinking about this study, I came across this video and thought, this is fantastic. So I don't know that our sound guy is up there, so I'm going to travel. Okay, if the earth is the size of a golf ball, Jamie is going at the speed of light. And okay, so if you go into the folder TS PowerPoint, the desktop, there's going to be a PowerPoint presentation that's labeled TS Class 2021-0801. Oh, okay. So we'll get the computer fired up, and we'll talk about this. It's a 7-minute video. It's portions of a 45-minute sermon, which is really good, but we'll just listen to part of it. But I want to, after we watch this, he's going to be sharing a lot about our solar system. And it's a sermon, and so he's going to obviously talk about how God is a part of that creation. Oh, look, we have windows up. We're moving right along. But it's, yeah, go to TS PowerPoint. And while Jamie's getting that ready, for those of you who are back home, I just want to say thank you for joining us. We know that there are a lot of different places that you could click on.
So here's a little perspective that sort of changed my life. If the earth were the...
that's an excellent, excellent... Oh, you have to put... go to the PowerPoint slide. I actually don't know. Oh, this is going downhill in a hurry. So... does anybody want to come up and share a story for the next 2 minutes while I go back there? Oh, Dimitri's gonna. Oh, there we go. That'll work. That'll work. Okay. And then there's a black remote that says projector on it. If you just aim it at that thing and hit power, in about 30 seconds, we'll be able to watch. Yep, we're getting there. Okay, let me make sure this is the right one, because I went through a bunch of them before I decided which one I wanted. That's not the right one. Yeah, okay. Excuse me for just a second. Does anybody want to lead in a song? Do we have a... Okay, let me see if I can get that. Nope, you're just fine, thank you. Okay. Is it Dimitri? Did you get the thing turned on? Can you? Is it on? I'm afraid to hit the power button again because I might turn it off on accident. There we go.
And he was working away, and somebody came in and decided they would ring the bell. So when they did, it hit this guy and knocked him out of the bell tower, and he fell right flat on his back, and he was dead. So they went and got the preacher, and he came out there, and they said, "Preacher, we don't know this guy. I guess he's new here. You know, do you know him?" And so the preacher looked at him, and he said, "Well, his face rings a bell."
Thank you, Michael Kay.
Okay, so
thank you, Michael Chan. Okay, so let's go ahead, and if you'll take down the lights too.
We are here tonight to worship a huge, massive God of grace and glory. The story opens like this, in case you forgot. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that was a phenomenal moment when that happened, because light came out of the mouth of God, traveling 186,000 miles a second. There's an image of it for you, by the way. It's a little more fierce than we often think. It's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface, but what I want you to see about it is how big it is. It's 93 million miles away, so when you're looking up in the sky, it's pretty good pace out there. By the way, light traveling 186,000 miles a second, it's only taken 8 minutes to cover that 93 million mile journey to touch your skin here in Atlanta, Georgia. But what I want you to see is the size of it. It's like a million times the size of the earth, and that matters to us tonight when you hear what the psalmist said. Listen to his words. "By the word of the Lord," this is Psalm 33, "the heavens were made." In other words, God didn't lift a finger when he made the universe. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." But he goes on to say, "their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth." So we're looking at something so intense that we don't want to get any closer than 93 million miles away, which is what we are right now. And then we read that God just breathes out stars. It's crazy to think about it. A million times the size of the earth. So here's a little perspective that sort of changed my life. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, okay, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. Okay, that didn't seem to move anybody either, so let me try it a different way. Let me just try it just a different way. I thought I might need this, so I brought a golf ball, okay? So all through the evening, this is going to represent Earth, all right? So this is where we are. I need everybody in the building to look as closely as you can and find yourself, okay? And when you found yourself, I want you to nod your head so that I know you've located you on the Earth, okay? You're nodding your head? Okay, you found yourself. If the Earth were a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. That's not 15 feet in diameter. Can we blow that up just a hair and maybe give them 15 feet in diameter? So here's a little perspective for you, okay? Is this working for anybody? Here we are on the Earth, and that's the sun. It's so big, you could put 960,000 Earths inside the sun. So if the Earth were a golf ball and the sun were 15 feet in diameter, you could put 960,000 golf balls inside that 15-foot diameter sun. That's enough golf balls, by the way, because I know that seems like a big number, to fill a school bus with golf balls could fit inside the 15-foot diameter sun. It's a massive star, and it's one of hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy, our cul-de-sac in the neighborhood called the cosmos that God has made. I love science, and science has just brought us the largest star they found. It's called, are you ready for this? Canis Majoris. Now, I'm no linguist, but that's a cool name for the biggest star we've found so far. I think that means the big dog star, and that's exactly what it is. I bring it to you as a little bitty purple, you know, glow just to the right of center there. But Canis Majoris, oh wow, if the Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. Almost 6 miles above sea level, the highest point on the planet, and I just dare you to get up there and unzip the parka and pull out your golf ball. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside Canis Majoris. That's enough Earths, if the Earth were a golf ball, to cover the entire state of Texas in golf balls 22 inches deep. You see the one you're on? Maybe this will help a little bit more. This absolutely blew my mind. Just a little journey through our solar system. Everyone knows our planets and sort of how we fit in to the story here. You see really quickly that we're not even the biggest deal in our own solar system, but as Earth comes by, you have to know tonight that we are living on a privileged planet. Anyone would tell you we're living at one of the most special places, if not the most special place in all of creation. But Neptune comes by and Saturn and then Jupiter, and you're like, okay, we're not all that big, even in our own little cul-de-sac. I just noticed the blue dot fading away is not the Earth. That's Neptune. The Earth has gotten too small to see anymore. Sirius comes by. Little plug for satellite radio. Not the biggest star, but the brightest star that we have found so far. Pollux, which we didn't mention. Arcturus. Such a beautifully named one, Regal. But then the one that messed me up. Our third star, Musifi. Musifi's cousin, Wcifi. And Canis Majoris. And do you know that you couldn't come up here right now with a Sharpie and make a mark on the screen that would approximate the size of our sun? You couldn't even do it. I mean, when you look at these and their relative size, we just have to put a little arrow over there that says, if you could put the sun on here, which you can't, it would go somewhere about here. And can you hang on that for me? And when you see this, I don't know what happens to you, but I'll tell you what happens to me. A shrinking feeling comes over me, and it's not a bad shrinking feeling, it's a good shrinking feeling. Because sin, it has a way of shrinking God down in our minds and puffing us up in our own estimation. But just a glance into the universe that God has made resizes everything in a heartbeat. And you realize tonight we are worshiping an unrivaled, uncontested God of all kind of might and power and glory and awe, who is, there's none like Him anywhere in all of creation tonight.
Okay, so maybe the question that you've been asking, and rightfully so, is why have we spent now two sermons and two classes talking about how big mountains are, how big the ocean is, how big the earth is, and now we've talked about the sun and how big it is, and then we said, well, now the sun's not even that big. Why is all of this important? Because God is a big deal. That's why creation and talking about its size and its beauty and its consistency is such a big deal. Honestly, how many of you have worried, or maybe how many times have you worried about whether or not God can handle your troubles? Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever thought, I wonder if God knows how to handle this? How many of you, and I won't make you raise your hand, but I know it's all of you. How many of you in your prayer life have tried to give God advice on what needs to happen next? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever thought, God, let me help you out just a little bit? Have you ever told God what He needs to do to make your life better or to fix something or maybe to fix someone else? God, if you only knew, I can help you out. Have you ever questioned if God had the power to help you through a difficult situation? Have you ever thought, I just don't know if God can handle this? I want you to know that we serve a great God, a huge God, a powerful God, a creative God, a merciful God, a God of unfathomable, immeasurable, indescribable love. That's the kind of God that we serve. We get so caught up in our own lives and what's going on that we forget how big God is and how small we are. We are in a society, a culture that caters to our every need and every want, and before long, we think we're the ones who really are in control and calling the shots, and we're the important ones. We stare at these little devices on our phones and they tell us we want to hear, and we watch it over and over again, and we forget that God is bigger than a little 4-inch screen. It's why I love going to camp, especially out at Pine Springs when you can get away and you can see things you don't see here, like mountains. You can hear little streams. Clouds come, and when the clouds come, the rain falls. We were out there as we were watching the bonfire and it was dying out, and we looked out at the stars, and I don't know the distance in elevation between Sacramento, New Mexico, and Hobbs, but I felt like if it's 93 million miles closer to the sun, I figured we were half as much closer. Because the stars, it was almost like you could just reach out and grab them. And they're right there, but even then, they're so tiny, you wouldn't say, look at that. I could fit 4 quadrillion Earths or suns inside that tiny little speck. And that's how big God is. I heard a preacher say years ago, if you believe in a small God, your problems will always be big. But if you believe in a big God, your problems will always be small. Do you have struggles? God's deliverance is greater. Do you have sin? God's grace is greater. Do you have questions? God's wisdom is greater. Do you have heartache? God's joy is greater. Do you have fear? God's hope is greater. Do you struggle with loneliness? God's presence is greater. Are you overwhelmed and tired? God's strength is greater. Do you live in a world of hate? God's love is greater. We need to start asking the question and answering it every day. How great is our God? How great is our God? We've shrunk down the world. We think we've answered all the questions about why is the sky blue and why is the grass green, and we've lost the beauty and the majesty of a world that God created. God is so great that He can create these stars so humongous that we can't even imagine or fathom them. You know, Louis talked about, we're on a first name basis, by the way. Louis talked about, you know, as he showed Canis Majoris, and he said, if you got a Sharpie, you couldn't even put a dot small enough for our son. And remember, our son is over a million times bigger than the planet that we live on. And we haven't even touched that. Most of us haven't even been on most of the states in our own country. There are thousands and thousands of square miles of sea that we have not even come close to exploring. We don't even know what's on our own planet, which is huge. But the sun is bigger, and our solar system is bigger, and the whole all of space is bigger. And then God is bigger than all of that. And so I want you to think about the next time you're struggling, does God have the power? I want you to know He does. And does God have the desire? And for that, we don't have to look to the sun in the sky. We just look at His Son and what He chose to do in all of His creation. He said, I'm sending my Son here to this tiny speck of nothingness because I love the people who I created and who inhabit them. And even though they look up at the stars and they don't see the beauty, they don't recognize how amazing it is, I'm still going to love them and sacrifice for these people. How great is our God. And how great is His love for each one of us. We're going to close out this series next week, and we're going to talk about what responsibility falls on us as we come to terms with a great and awesome God who created all of this. And how might we live to honor a God and to worship Him in all that He does? But this week, I just want you to stop and find yourself admiring creation and worshiping the Creator. How great is our God? Let's close out in prayer. Father God, I thank You for being a great, awesome God. I know that I am nothing, absolutely nothing compared to this world. Nothing. It spins with or without me. It doesn't need me. I am nothing compared to this universe. I'm nothing compared to all of creation. But I am everything to You. Because You chose to send Your Son for me, for everybody in this room, and everybody living on every street, in every hut, in every cave, all around this world. Our value is based on what You are willing to give for us. And so even as we recognize our insignificance, how tiny it is, let us be reminded that Your love is so great that You care for us, that You knit us all together in our mother's womb, that You love us, that You call us into relationship. And so, Lord, like the rest of creation, May we cry out to you as our Creator. May we praise you with all of our life, with all of our breath, with all of us together. May we glorify you. God, you are a great God, and we love you. Thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you again for being here. You are dismissed.